Good evening, everybody.
Well, that's not too loud, is it? I'm Kevin. I am actually, there we go. I hope everybody doesn't mind. I don't do PowerPoint. It's all text or code and samples. So yeah, my talk's going to be about using PhoneGap. Who here is a web developer? Who here is a mobile application developer? Who does iOS development? Android? So most of you are working on WP7 devices? What's that? Okay, so a lot of you are making web applications. Okay, that's cool. Web applications, first off, are awesome, and they probably should be your first port of call, but that doesn't get you in any app store. And that's where PhoneGap is. Well, first, let's establish what PhoneGap is. PhoneGap is now an open source project called Cordova. Adobe actually bought the company that produced it and have released the code open source, and they maintain it themselves. Taking contributions from the community, of course. And what it does is it allows you to make a mobile web application that sits on a device, and you distribute it in any app store. Whether it's they support out of the box, they support Android, iPhone, and any iOS device. It supports BlackBerry devices. It supports Windows Phone 7 devices. I think it supports Symbian and a few other dead things that nobody talks about anymore. And it does it by embedding web views. I mean, I'm sure if you've done any mobile development, there's a chance that you've needed something on a page and you just threw some HTML together and put it in an embedded web view. Anyway, all of the frameworks out there, well, as far as I'm aware, let you do something like that. PhoneGap makes it a little bit more seamless. They allow you to talk to the hardware in many instances. Some devices have better capabilities than others, obviously. But for Windows Phone 7 devices, it lets you talk to the camera, to messaging, to the audio recording, geolocation, the compass, all of these things, and other ones as well. There's a list of compatibility items on the PhoneGap website that shows what each device has. And surprisingly enough, Windows Phone does sit on par with most of the other devices. As a Windows Phone user, let's be honest, who here uses Windows Phone? Okay. You know that it's a little bit less than everything else when it comes to the applications available. I use Windows Phone 7 not because I'm a Microsoft shill or anything like that. I use it because, well, it's the best phone that I found. But the app stores, you know, you don't have everything in there. Also, at the end of the day, everybody wants to be in an app store. You might have clients that want you in an app store. You might have products that you want in the app stores, whether it's Google or Apple, because that's where the mindset is at. PhoneGap app will let you do that. You can take a web-based app with some changes and put it on the store, and you can make it feel native. I'll be honest, it's actually harder to make a Windows Phone 7 app feel native in PhoneGap than it is Android or iOS. Unfortunately, IE9 is still in some cases that kid in the corner eating glue. Microsoft brought a lot up to speed with IE9 for the mobile as well. It's particularly good with the canvas, so you can do things with canvas. If you've got an app that's going to focus on drawing quite a bit, would be really good, really suited for that. But the CSS animations, which are one of the things that really make an app feel like for like, they're still lacking in IE9. Hopefully Windows Phone 8 will solve that problem, because that will be using mobile IE10, which is apparently the same as IE10, and that's definitely up to speed when it comes to other browsers. So, and again, you want to be in the store. Everybody wants it. Who here has published any application to any of the stores out there? Who's had clients want to do that? Who here likes to write Objective C? Really? Wow, there's two people that raised their hand on that one. And probably there's about five people in New Zealand that would agree. For that matter, who wants to write Java? I mean, because that's the alternative for Android, is you have to write a Java app. So why not write it with the web, if that's the skills that you have? If you're a C-sharp developer and you like XAML, well, you're not going to want to write a Windows Phone app in PhoneGap. Right now, I'll tell you, you might as well just leave. Not you, Ian. You got to stay. Okay. So, yeah, if you've got something, or if you want an app to be cross all these devices, the other option would be if you've got a Windows Phone, or not Windows Phone, excuse me, a Windows 8 application, and you want a subset of your, if you've made your app in HTML5 and JS, which you should, you can make a subset of your app quite easily by doing a PhoneGap web view. Again, it does fall down in animations. I will say that right now. So if you've got something you want to be really swishy, go native for Windows Phone. You can get around it in the other browsers. So let's see some code, actually, what it is. You go to the PhoneGap site. It's just phonegap.com. Pardon, it's slow. I'm tethering off my mobile phone because this may be slow, but the Wi-Fi here has been a little bit, let's just say, erratic. And you just go to download. It's a zip package you can then just dump out. And one of the things that it does provide will be templates for you. And you just make a copy. You copy the zip file in your My Documents Visual Studio. I'll show you where it's at. Projects. Oh, wait. Templates, sorry. One step ahead. Visual C Sharp, Cordova Starter. So, and again, there's a lot of confusion about what Cordova is versus what PhoneGap is. PhoneGap is the Adobe brand for it. There are services that they provide that they call from PhoneGap. And by services, I mean literally you pay them money and they do things for you. So that's their marketing spin behind it. Cordova is the actual project. So Visual Studio, you go... So it's not under phone, not under the Silverlight for phone, obviously. And I lose it every time. Where? Very subtle icon. And you'll notice here, if you've ever done any phone development, you've got a folder here called www. And it's got CSS, images, and JS files. Now, the magic happens in that Cordova JS file. So you have to make sure that whenever you add a web page, any web page that you add references that that Cordova file. Otherwise, it does not like you at all. And... So you start your app, and boom, that's your app. The device is ready. Ooh, hey, you made a phone app. Yeah. Woohoo! So yeah, but that's pretty... That doesn't give you much of anything. But that is your starting point. Now, one of the things that you do, if you've done web development, you realize that there is a on DOM ready that you people, most people will attach events to, and that's when they do all their binding and things like that. With the PhoneGap, you actually, they do on device ready. And they'll provide, they provide a little small sample of what a library would be. So we've got here. And you'll note also, this is still a Windows Phone app. There is still a main page .xml, .xaml and an application .xaml, and you've got all of these things in here just like you would normally. So there's no reason that you can't actually make a hybrid app. One of the things that you get with using PhoneGap versus embedding a web view is that they have actually done things that makes that improve performance, and not just on Windows Phone 7. They've actually done things on all the platforms. You do get a better, you do get more performance. If you're making an application and it might be a native application, but you've got something that you need some web content in that you're going to put in, and it's a lot easier to bring in your HTML and JavaScript, I would recommend using PhoneGap versus a traditional web view. So yeah, that's, like I say, you've got your, everything is the same. You manage it just like you would anything else, any other app. And now, well, that's great, you think, but what if I'm on Android? What if I'm on iOS? I don't need the XAML files. You've got the www. What you might want to do is have your, and actually, you could do a few things to a little bit trick to trick with the Cordova script, and you could actually take your site that you've got, that you might be your mobile app that you have out there for everybody. You can take that, dump it in your www folder via some sort of source control magic, where you've got one copy, and you put it in there, and you share your resources, and that's the quick, nasty way to do it. Where you've taken your site and you've made an app out of it really quickly. Not the way to go long term, because there's a lot of nuances that you get with mobile apps versus what you get with a native app, even when the mobile app is embedded in the native app. One of the things you can, now, this is the other area that IE9 falls down in. Mobile WebKit supports touch events. And that's why if you've ever been on a mobile browser and you click on something, or it feels slow, because most often they're not binding to touch events. They're binding to click events. So there's actually about a 300 millisecond delay as the browser translates that. So that's why everyone thinks that mobile apps feel sluggish compared to native apps, because it's built in. It's kind of just the way it is. So if you're going to bind to events, if you're going to try to share your code, you'll need to make sure that you are binding to click events in IE, binding to touch events in all the other browsers. Hopefully, again, this changes in IE 10, where touch is more native.
Is there no way to embed a WebKit browser instead of using the default?
That would be awesome, but no. There's at least not in Windows Phone 7, because you can't write native code. I wouldn't be half surprised if in the future with Windows Phone 8, where people start to write native code, that they will have some means to have something embedded in via the WebKit or possibly Firefox. I know the Mozilla Corporation have mentioned that they would love to have a browser on the Windows Phone. If nothing else, I think they'd do it to make Microsoft upset. But again, they have been looking at doing that. So that's it in a nutshell right there with what an app is. That's not very exciting at all. So we'll go in, and you want to make your app feel Metro. You want it to be, I mean, let's face it, it's very blunt. Metro apps are very flat color-wise, whereas you see your iPhone apps all try to look fake metallic, whereas Metro is very nice, flat, single colors, very easy to achieve with CSS. For instance, if you wanted to style a button, we can just code on the fly. I'm going to put a button on the page just for the heck of it. And I'll show you what one looks like. And you'd think the emulator would pop up in the front. Yeah, that looks like a button you see in a web Windows Phone app. Hey, no. Unfortunately, you do get the native browser stylings, so you don't get that feeling. But what does a button want to look like in... Let's look here. I'm going to cheat. I would normally submit, do one with a... Helps when I change the actual color of the text, doesn't it? But, I mean, you get the idea. And then all of a sudden...
You wouldn't use the PhoneGap Metro thing to shortcut that process?
It depends on what I want to do. What I would probably choose to do... I would probably want to consider how Metro I want everything to be. Where that would get some styling across, because let's face it, if Metro, or I guess we shouldn't call it Metro now, whatever Microsoft wants to call it, if the new interface design starts to take off like we would expect it to, everybody's going to be doing it, possibly with the exception of Apple, because they do their own thing all the time. And I've already started seeing more Metro-y style apps within the Android ecosphere. So you've got that. Then you have to decide, where do you want to make the changes at? How much do you want it to look? Obviously, there's some things that you would want to have feel Metro, and some things that you want to be just on Windows Phone, some things you want to have just on Android, some things just on iOS. So again, that's going to be app per app. You have to be careful as well, bring in lots of styles you do from any theme like that, because does it feel the way that you want your app to feel? Is it going to ride over something else? There is a Metro theme for jQuery Mobile. So if you've already got an app that's on jQuery Mobile, it's probably the best thing. Your best point of attack with that is you go, hey, already got it, already doing it. I don't like jQuery Mobile because it's a lot of HTML you have to write. They're really dictating to you what you have to do. But it fills a gap. I still think there's aspects about it that don't feel native, and you've got a lot of extra lot of code in your library that you don't particularly need until you can pull some of it out and make it a little bit more modular. As far as I'm aware, no. That is one of the things. I would assume, though, that you can write a plugin, and that's one of the things that you can do if you don't have the capability out of the box to talk to native code or anything like that. You can, in fact, there's a number of plugins that come in out of the box with it that handle those things like capturing audio and the camera and things like that. But if you look on the PhoneGap GitHub repo, they actually have additional plugins that you can bring into your project, things like for live tiles. You can do live tiles via phone with the PhoneGap app. So you've got other things, and you can extend it. And again, iOS is the leader by far with the number of plugins, but the Windows Phone plugins are growing. Is there another hand up? I guess not. Okay. So you've got to balance how you want your app to do. If you want to have that one code base, you are still programming like you would on the web. You know, there may be feature detection you have to worry about, and the difference between the animations, for instance, is really quite simple. You feature detect if it's got native CSS transitions, do one thing. If it doesn't, do another. So yeah, that's the exact same thing you do in the web now. You just query, you just have that capability and code for it. Still sucks. It's still the web in that regard. You still have multiple platforms, but you get the benefit of going everywhere. So yeah, that's the Hello World application. If we want to look at more of what you could do in a more slightly complex and a little bit more metrophil, and take in mind, I originally wrote this app in C# and XAML for Windows Phone, and it feels native, but it does have some limitations in this aspect, but I can show you. And again, you have to decide what you want to do based on how it feels for you. Everyone's applications are different. What's right for you? If your application is your company, it is your product, I would probably recommend you write native for every platform. At this point in time, unless it makes a lot of sense to make it on the web, but if your app is your product, I'm not the only person that's ever said that. I've heard other people say that as well. So yeah, but if it's a add-on, if it's something extra, then it makes a lot of sense to have it web-based. Or if you've got all web talent and you don't have all these other developers that you can bring in, all these other skills, again, that's where it's at. And if you look here, I'm now taking mine. This is going to be really ugly because I added an app bar, because you can do that in your PhoneGap app, and that would be in the. Am I in the right project? Anyway. Yeah, there we are. So yeah, that's just a phone bar, an app that does nothing, but you can make it do something. I just put it in for the demo. So we've got here, you've got your main page. Now, one thing to consider as well, if you're bringing in a library and you've got a lot of extra files, it's fine for testing. I've got a lot of files in here for testing for development purposes. For goodness sakes, don't deliver any of those files. They will make your app slow on startup. They will also obviously add payload to your download, maybe initially, but every little bit counts. So just be careful of that sort of thing. Again, the icon's there. That's where you'd have your bar at. There's a lot going on. This is actually querying the internet for additional data.
Apart from writing native kind of PhoneGap code there for the app bar and so on, are you using Backbone.js or some other framework?
You could, and actually I would recommend, In Windows Phone 7, it's not as nice because you don't get the transitions that you can take advantage of. But again, yes, if you're going to write an app like that, I would highly recommend using some form of MVC framework for your app. I do have a preference, not Backbone especially. When I do single page apps, I use the UE MVC app framework. It's been inspired by Backbone, but it's a little more modular, more flexible. Backbone, I found I have written apps in it. I've written apps for people with it. You've got to go their way or the highway or pain. Which is fine if you want to do it just their way, but I'm a little bit picky. So you got here just a list of items pulling from a JSON request. And now that's one thing that you noticed. Did you see the little gray flash around the text? And again, you've got the animations here, not as nice as you'd get with native CSS transitions, and that's kind of the whole point of it. Still doesn't scroll too bad, and it's probably about 40 items here. So yeah, and that's that. Oops. Bug in code. So there's different things you have to worry about in that environment. So what's going on here is, again, it's written just like you would write a web app. probably not the best web application, but you've got here your HTML. Just standard type of stuff. You've got where the container, where things go. And actually the ooh, bugger. Didn't mean to move that. Sorry. I'll get it in the right folder eventually. Thank you. So we've got here, it's just making a XML HTTP request, pulling in data just like you would on any other app, binding to the click event, and just pulling in data and running animations. So it's not, it's just exactly what you'd write on a web page. There's nothing fancy about it. There's nothing different about it. It's just, like I say, it's making an XML HTTP request, pulling it in, and doing some DOM manipulation. So it's not like you're having to worry about data binding, worrying about, well, what's going on with that, so with the XAML bindings and things like that, which if you're not a XAML developer can be really crazy in the beginning. This is just using the skills that you have right now, moving them into a slightly different platform. Any questions? Somehow I saw some hands go. Yes, sir. Anything, well, you'd want to avoid a lot of libraries that do a lot of, that handle a lot of the older browsers, because you've got code in these libraries that handle things for IE6, IE7, IE8. You don't need that. And for that matter, if you've got a lot of code in your library that's specific for WebKit browsers or even Firefox, you don't want that either, because that's going to add to your payload. That's going to add to the weight of the app when it comes down, again, in the startup times as well. You want to avoid that sort of stuff, but there's no restrictions that I've seen. Obviously, if you've got libraries that are going to do a lot of something like with WebGL, well, no point in that, because you're not going to get anything out of that. That's just going to sit there, and you get a blank screen. So you do want to be sensible about the libraries that you bring in. Just like any time that you've got a web app, you know, you don't want to add to the download. Yes. With this, I just use local storage, just like would anything. You can, they do have plugins that let you talk to the isolated storage within Windows Phone 7. But again, it depends on what you want. What I don't really have a preference for that sort of thing. Yeah, like I said, they have the wrappers around it, so it's sorted out. I kind of trust them on that one. Yes.
Yep.
There is an event. There are events that are handled with that sort of thing. So you would, if you've got state you have to manage, you'd save your data out in the local storage, pull it back in on when it's ready again.
So it exposes the ability. So when you take the native sort of calls that you're receiving.
Yes.
Well,
you don't call in. You're binding to an event, just like you're binding from, like when you're binding to a click event, you're binding to tombstoning and restoring and that sort of thing. So it exposes those events.
And all of that inside the JavaScript.
Yes. Anyone else? Because I know after this it's beer, and I don't want to stand in the way of that. Yes.
How do you get this to the
app store? Oh, great point. There's a couple of things that you can do with that. You can just bind it up just like you would normally. You create the bundle from Visual Studio, or again, the same with you've got in Xcode and Android, just like you would any other app, because it's just another app. They do have a service called Build, and what that allows you to do, you submit your code to them. You give them your licensing info, so if you've got to have a certificate if you're on in the App Store and things like that, you give them that information. They'll actually build and submit it for you. I think they submit it. I shouldn't actually say that. I know that they sign everything correctly for you, so once it's submitted to the store, it's in your name and it's ready to go. And they'll do that for every platform. So you can actually, in theory, write an iOS device app on PhoneGap on a Windows machine and never touch an iOS device. That's a little risky, would scare the dickens out of me, but it can be done. It has been done. I have heard from people that have done that. So, I mean, it is a shortcut into the iPhone store in that regards. Yep. Yep. You don't talk back to it? Just like you would if you're from a website querying another one. It's just a standard XML HTTP request. It's just AJAX, if you will. You can pull. You do have a few more events exposed in IE9 to query it. You don't have as many as it would be nice, but again, you could possibly long pull. I wouldn't suggest doing that too much, particularly on a mobile device, because obviously the more you talk, the more data you pull down. So if someone's on a mobile connection, you have to be careful about that. Oh no! You'd use a domain name and just have that and manage that, just like you would anything else with a web call. I mean, you could put IPs, but then or some sort of other host name, but then you'd have to make sure that you query something and get the updated list, which is one of the other things, nice things about this, because what you could do is you could actually have a script that calls on startup that might query and grab a new list of servers for you to pull down or something like that, and just keeps it on the machine after that and update the settings. Yes?
What security concerns are there about having all the methods wrapped up in this kind of like an executable? We've just been to a security session where the suggestion would be to put all that server-side, but one of the reasons for doing this is to try and keep everything client-side so you're not making all those calls. How do you balance keeping functionality client-side for speed versus security keeping it server-side?
That's a good question. You'd want to probably secure things. You might want to salt things if you're storing it locally. Careful of storing passwords. It's slightly a little bit more difficult. You just can't sniff. You can sniff things. You have to be careful that you aren't allowing and opening yourself up to some form of packet sniffing or anything like that. But again, if you're sending encrypted data, you just need to be safe about it. You just think about it ahead of time and make sure. There's no magic cure for it. I mean, every device has to keep, whether it's a PhoneGap app or a native mobile app, you're going to have security things in there. Everything's crackable. What's the risk that you're willing to take, and how much security are you thought? How much have you thought about as you've done it? In some ways, you're running in a tighter sandbox than you would in a normal browser, so that you don't expose other aspects of your browser. So. Again, I haven't seen a lot of security issues with it, but again, I think that it probably has no more than any other mobile app.
Like an encrypted deployment mode, like they used to use with Zinc and that kind of thing, that would encrypt all the code as you compile it?
Not that I'm aware of, no. Nothing any more than what you're getting when you're compiling your code now, so. I mean, you can't view source on this. I mean, you know, if someone has the mobile app, but you can still do the things that you can do to it that you can to an Objective-C app or a Android app, which, you know, kind of unsecure. So it is what it is. There's nothing less secure about this than there is about native apps. Yes. What was that? Not really, not natively. And again, that's just what the browser does. So you could, in theory, you could add some form of compression to it, writing a plugin, and do that yourself. And then just have that marshaling to and from the web app. But you'd more than likely would have to do that if you wrote a native app. Again, there's no as far as I'm aware, I shouldn't say I haven't written a lot of native apps, especially using compression and things like that. So, yes.
How rapidly do they tend to bring on support for new devices?
Well, it's not the devices, it's the platforms. They're fairly quick. I know that I was surprised they came out with Windows Phone 7 as quick as they did. Apparently Microsoft paid them. So it's one of those things I haven't seen. Obviously, there's a lot of support for the iPhone, quite a bit for Android, and I'm hesitant to say what they're going to do about Windows Phone 8, but they are pretty quick about it. And it's not like anything's breaking. One of the biggest things about support is that what it actually ends up doing, they actually end up removing things because the vendors are actually making the browsers better. So, and the way that you talk to a lot of the native applications, you actually talk to it via the way the specs are being shaped out right now. So the way the HTML5 is going, that's actually how you're talking. So your code doesn't change. Some of the back-end plumbing for Cordova changes. Yes? I believe, as far as I'm aware with the different platforms, it's like a form post. It exposes the data back. I haven't done a lot with the actual image capturing, though. Sorry. But there are awesome tutorials on PhoneGap's website that show you how to use it and how to deal with the data. And they break it down by each individual activity. So, anything else? Anyone? All right, well, thank you very much. I'll be here if you have any additional questions you don't want to ask to everybody for a few minutes, and I'll probably see you at TechFest tonight. Cool. Thank you all very much.